Pentecost and the inflatable church. That's right, the inflatable church. It was invented by a guy named Michael Gill in England 6 years ago. It stands 47 feet high, can fit up to 60 people in it. It has inflatable pews, an inflatable pulpit, stained glass windows, even inflatable candles. I asked my wife how she thought they got the air into it to inflate it, and she said, "That's the preacher's job." With all that hot air. So it made me think. It was just last Sunday or two Sundays ago, I was at the ordination service for the United Methodist Church, and I watched 15 of my colleagues stand before the bishop, have their hands laid on them, and have them sent out to be pastors and ministers in the places that God was sending them. And it got me thinking, what if instead of a stole that was placed around them, what if every person who became a new pastor was given three things? Was given a truck, a trailer hitch, and an inflatable church, and said, "Go. Have church, we'll travel." Imagine the possibilities. Monday at the skateboard park. Tuesday at the bowling alley. Wednesday at the golf course. Thursday at the shopping mall parking lot. Friday at the school parking lot. Saturday at the beach. And Sunday, of course, you can find us at Ford Field or Comerica Park or the Palace or the Joe. Wherever the people are, we could be the church on the go. The notion of the inflatable church, the church on the move, the church that doesn't wait for people to come to it, but the church that goes to where the people already are. It's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago in that locked room when 12 disciples were sitting there at one of those church meetings. You ever been to one of those church meetings? And all of a sudden at that church meeting, something happened. The windows blew wide open and fresh air rushed into the place. Suddenly there were little flames popping up over everybody's head. It was literally like everybody was on fire with the passion of God in the place. Imagine that even at a church meeting. And then suddenly it was as if the entire foreign language department of the University of Michigan exploded all over the place, because over here somebody was speaking French, and over here somebody was speaking German, and back there somebody was speaking Swahili, and back here somebody was speaking Portuguese, and people popping up speaking in all of these native tongues. And here was the miracle of Pentecost. Not that people were speaking different languages, but that people could understand each other even though they didn't speak the same language. For 2,000 years, the church has been arguing about the miracle of tongues and forgot what the real miracle of Pentecost is. It's not the miracle of the tongue, it's the miracle of the ear. It's the ability to hear and understand people even though language and culture and race separates and divides. On that day, people literally became one in the Spirit. And this summer, we're going to read week after week what happened after God showed up at the church meeting. Because you see, those 12 disciples became a church on the move. They got out into the world around them, and the early church spread like wildfire, hundreds if not thousands of people coming to faith week after week, day after day, simply because a group of people got so filled with the Holy Spirit that it could no longer contain itself. It was interesting at the little new member class we had at the parsonage a few weeks back, somebody asked this question. What makes Methodists Methodists? I'm joining a Methodist church. What does that mean? What a great question. Because in today's world, there's probably not a whole lot of discernible difference between a Methodist and a Lutheran, between a Presbyterian and an Episcopal. Sure, we do a couple of things different during worship service, but at our core, we all appear to be pretty much the same. So what makes Methodists Methodists? Those differences might not have been discernible as much today, but let me tell you, 300 years ago, you knew who Methodists were because Methodists were the people who were on the move. The Methodists were the people of the first inflatable church. One thing you need to remember about the history of this country is that we Methodists, we were latecomers on the scene. We were a day late and a dollar short. The Pilgrims and the Puritans, they had come here 100 years before and established Massachusetts Bay. The Catholics and Lord Baltimore, they were there in Maryland. The Quakers in Pennsylvania, the Baptists and Roger Williams in Rhode Island, the Dutch Reformed helped shape and create New York. When you take your history class in elementary school, you learn quickly that it's these religious movements that began to shape the landscape of the new country. There is no mention of the Methodists. And why? Because we weren't here. All of those other churches came here in the 1600s, and when they got here, they cleared land, they built houses, they built churches, they built seminaries, they built Harvard, they built Yale. Yale and Harvard trained preachers before they trained Corey Kind, who I still think is going to be a preacher, but that's another sermon for another day. No pressure, though. Methodists didn't arrive till about 100 years later. And when they came, they didn't have buildings. They didn't have churches. All they had were their horses. You see, that's when something began to happen in the 1700s. Things began to change and people began to move. People began to move from the East Coast and they began to move out into Ohio and the Northwest Territory, into Kentucky and Missouri and further west. And here was the thing that the Methodists did. They moved with the people. They went to where the people are. And that's why you can't go anywhere in the state of Michigan and not find a Methodist church somewhere. The Methodists are the only people in the state of Michigan to claim they have a church in every single county, because as the people moved, the Methodist people moved with them. So what makes Methodists Methodists? Methodists have always been people more interested in being on the move, of being the original inflatable church, of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Methodists were the ones who always understood that the church was always more than brick and mortar. The church was bodies and souls. And in a day and age when 80% of United Methodist churches now reside in places where only 20% of the people live, 80% of Methodist churches today are in places where only 20% of the people live. It is time to be the people on the move again, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't been caught up in what the Holy Spirit has been doing here today, then I don't know what else I can do for you. Because that's what makes all the difference. Methodists are people on the move, people blown up, filled up, filled with the Spirit of the living God, doing whatever it takes to reach people with the love of God. And so what does it mean to be Pentecost people? Not Methodist people, but Pentecost people. It means that we simply will be the church that goes to where the people are. And so what does that mean? It means we take our church into classrooms and into boardrooms and into storerooms and the break rooms of our community. That's why we go to CAS, and that's why we go to the NOAA Project. That is why Paul and Don are going to take us to Haiti in January. That is why Bridget is going to take 2 van loads of teenagers to Kentucky. You think she wakes up every morning with joy about that? Teenagers who drink 32-ounce colas and have bladders the size of Granny Smith apples. We go because Methodist people have always been people on the move. We go where the people are. We go where the need is. We are the church on the move. And I know for the last 5 weeks you've been out there scratching your head saying, what is this neighborhood walk all about? I don't get it. We don't do that. It is the Methodist thing to do. We are the people on the move. And so today we are going to get out there and we're just going to walk this neighborhood. We're going to be the people on the move. We're going to go out there with our eyes open and our ears attuned to what God is saying. These are the people. This is where they live. This is how they live. This is the things that they need. These are the things that you can do. And we are going to walk that neighborhood today. Because in that neighborhood is the next Natasha in Windsor who are looking for a home. There's the next Grayson who's looking for a church where he can be baptized. And there's a next David Holman who's looking for a church who can give him a golf cart and give him a ministry and not ask him a whole lot of questions about his driving record and just say, go for it. Just go for it. There's 13 more people out there who've yet to find a church home. And today we go out to discover where they live. We are going to be the Pentecost people, the church on the move, the people with the red shirts and the red shoes, the people puffed up with the Spirit of the living God. Each week of this summer series, there is going to be an act of love, a random act of kindness, but it's going to be much more planned than that. Each week, there's going to be a challenge to this congregation to go out and do something. And so this morning, I'm looking for 15 of you. 15 who are willing to come up here right now not having any idea what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm just looking for 15. Come on up if you want to come up. I got 15 people. I just need 15 who are going to do a random. Look at this. Who always leads us? It's the young people. Now don't just let the young people lead us here. Come on, I need 15 people who are going to do something for me this week. We're not just going to be content to just pretend they are the church. They're going to be the church. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I still need 10, 11, 12. 12.
I must be young.
12. 12. Still waiting for three more.
There we go.
12, 13, 14.
15.
15. Good. 15. I'll pick some more. 16, 17. Here's what I need you to do this week. I need you to be the church on the move. I'm giving each of you a $5 Starbucks card. And this week what I want you to do is I want you to find somebody who needs a blessing. And I want you to give this to them with this card from our church that simply tells them we are thinking about them and we are praying for them. Give it to the waitress at your restaurant. Give it to the teacher that nobody likes in your school. All right? Give it to the teacher. Not your favorite teacher. Give it to the teacher that everybody doesn't like.
I got one of those.
You got one of those. Give them that card. Right. Make their day. Give it to the nurse in the nursing home who takes care of a loved one. Give it to the police officer standing on the corner. Go over to the fire station and give it to somebody. Give it to somebody this week who needs a blessing. Be the church on the move. And next week when you come here, some of you are going to have a story to tell about how that works and how that happens. Each week there's going to be a different challenge about where God is at in the midst. These are our missionaries this week. These are the people who are going to be on the move. When you see them come to church next week, ask them how it went, where they saw God at work. And next week, I'm going to pre-warn you because it's going to come quick. Next week, you know what we're doing? Next Tuesday, a week from this Tuesday, is the last day of school at Pierce Middle School. I got 600 freeze pops right now in the back seat of my car. And we're going to freeze them this week. And on the last day of school, we're simply going to set up shop on the boulevard out there. And we're going to hand out popsicles to all those kids who live in this neighborhood who have just finished a year of school. If you want to come and hand out popsicles a week from Tuesday, next Sunday, you'll have a chance to sign up for it. Brothers and sisters, these are our missionaries who go out into the world this week to do that. I want to tell you how this works. I went to Starbucks to buy these yesterday. And I walk in and I say to the young lady behind the counter, I need 20. You should have seen her eyes got big. She thought I was going to ask for 20 mocha latte chocolates with the extra cream, and she kind of like freaked out. She's like, I get done in 10 minutes, man. Don't do that to me, right? I said, I need 20 gift cards with $5 on it. We started to talk about what they were, and she got ready to ring it up. I said, actually, why don't you make it 21? And I handed her the card with our card. And I can tell you, in that moment, she got it. She understood who we were and what we wanted to be about. This summer, welcome to the Random Acts of Love and the Summer of Love. And we're going to end our worship today by coming to God's table and finding that blessing for ourselves. You guys go out, be a blessing to someone this week. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Send them forth out into the world. Good job.
I'm unemployed.
If you need the cup of coffee for yourself, then it's on me, okay? But.